Thanks for returning to Norm Nathan's Vault of Silliness. A programming note. For a couple of reasons, I've decided to split some of these shows up. Not only does it allow for more content, but we can leave off with some real cliffhanger moments. Not really, but you get the idea. It doesn't work for all shows, but it does here with a multi-hour quiz. With that being said, today we venture back to June 21st, 1994, for a broadcast of the Swell Music Quiz. The panel of boorish oafs, and you'll hear that reference later, are as follows. Ed Mullen, with his ridiculous knowledge of pop music. Yours truly. Jack, who's working on a very special Christmas album. Some guy named Norm. And our producer is Mike Epstein and his orchestra. Ed explains the rules, which are longer than the game itself. And where, by the way, if you are lucky enough to win, you will receive some cockamamie prize. Players include Joel, Barry, Fred, Marty, and the lovely Helene from Belmont. There's a Jethro Tull controversy. Will it be ironed out? You'll just have to stay tuned. Get ready to rock, swing, and sing. A one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
Just makes me glow each weekend night. He's beyond compare and so debonair. He shines so bright.
Here on BZ. Oh, please, don't turn that dial. He makes me smile. Norm Nathan Show.
Oh, yeah.
Norm Nathan Show.
That's it.
Norm Nathan Show.
What is this? I don't know. Anyway, this is the Norm Nathan Show, and how nice of you to tune us in, even though I know how busy Monday nights are for you, and I know all the other things you had to do. But tonight is the dumb music quiz, and we're going to be playing that in just a minute. That's right, it's the dumb...
It's a swell music quiz.
Is that what we call it?
Yeah.
I thought it was the dumb music quiz. The swell music quiz. Okay, your chance to compete against experts in various fields, including rock and roll, big band, musical comedy, and you just state your preference, and there you go. And Ed Mullen is a member of the panel. Hello, Ed.
Nice to be here, Norm. Thank you very much. And we got all the questions. Hopefully the people who are listening right now will have a question ready for us so they can quiz us at the time. We'll go through the rules, get the encyclopedias out, and get the entire rules of the game.
I thought we'd do that just a few minutes.
Okay.
I was going to introduce members to the panel, and then we'll go through that. The rules are fairly simple, and it's so simple that even I sometimes remember parts of them.
Okay.
And, of course, Tony Nesbitt is a part of the panel as well. And nice to have you, Tony, of
Thank
course.
You. Nice
Always
to be
a
here.
Pleasure. And, of course, we have the very lovely Jack Hart, who's with us.
Yes, Norm, we are live at the scene.
You ought to do that, like Neil Sayed says, looking at the law live, you know, which is kind of a nice way if you're going to look at the law in any kind of shape, I suppose. That's the best way to look at
you
it.
You might as well look at it on the scene.
Yeah, you could look at the traffic live.
Sure.
Or you could not say live, and people would think you're giving recorded traffic reports from, like, about a week ago.
Yes.
Who would know the difference?
These reports were all written 2 months ago.
That's right. And again, I know that you're working on a Christmas album of the best of the 1994 traffic reports.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of excited about that because it would make a special gift.
Yes, indeed. And we've got some special guests coming in to do some very special duets on traffic.
Sounds very special.
It does sound special, doesn't it? Yeah. And here, remember back last May when we had a really pile up on Storrow Drive, and his little excerpt of that just to bring back. It'll be that kind of an album, I know.
Yes, it will.
Okay. Well, this is our panel, and Ed Mullen will give you the rules. We have three topics, three areas that you can pick: rock and roll, big band, or musical comedy. And if you would tell us the rules for the Swell music quiz. We'd appreciate it, Ed.
Thanks, Norm.
Thanks, Norm. I'm ad-libbing this. You wouldn't know that I was reading it because I'm ad-libbing.
And now for the rules. It goes like this. Basically, we'll throw the first question out. You, hopefully, the listener will try and answer the question. If they get it right, they continue to the second round. If they get it wrong, they're gone.
That's right. You're out of here, man.
Gone.
The second round consists of this. The listener would have a question ready for us and ask us. Hopefully, it's in the same category because that's part of the rules.
Hopefully. It'll have to be in the same category, as a matter of fact, yes.
That's right. If they pick rock and roll, they go rock and roll the whole way through. If they pick big band and jazz, they go big band and jazz the whole way through. Now, if we miss their question, they go on to the third round, and we ask them one big finale.
But if we get that question, favorite part, they're gone.
They're gone. Mm-hmm. They're ghosts, they're toast, they're history. And now, as the day turns into night and the night turns into morning.
These rules are taking longer than the whole damn quiz. Would you get on with it, please?
And finally, the third question. If we ask them the last question and they get it correct, they win a big certificate of merit. And, of course, Tony, if they get it wrong,
they're gone.
They're out of there.
Okay. That's a tough thing. These one person faces a panel of sometimes six people. Tonight we have four people, five, Mike. And
Mike Epstein, who's our producer.
The odds are just heavily weighed against them.
Well, don't say that. Don't say that. They're not supposed to know that they're losers right from the very beginning. Sorry. They're not supposed to know that.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. So if you want to take part in this, just call us now and just stand in line. And when you come on, just to mention the category that you want to answer the questions in. And also have a question, as Ed pointed out, have a question ready for us that in that same category, rock and roll, jazz, big band, or music comedy. Have the question ready for us.
I only mentioned about the odds because it's so satisfying when they do get us.
Absolutely.
That's why.
And that's right. And if you do win, you win a certificate of award, which is actually a copy of a cheap certificate printed on very cheap paper. And there are lots of words misspelled.
Suitable for absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Not even framing.
Yeah, I wouldn't frame it. I'd heave it as soon as I got it if I were you.
Suitable for bird cages.
Yeah, suitable, exactly. Suitable for bird cages. You know, you're right there, Jack. You always know the right answer to everything. Okay, let's go with Joel first and Sharon. Joel, you're on WBZ playing the Swell Music Quiz.
Could you run through those rules a couple more times?
Hey, listen, the last thing in the world we want is some wise guy from Sharon, okay? You know what I'm saying, fella?
Okay.
What category would you like?
Well, I'll try show tunes.
Show tunes? Oh, I'm so excited. That's my category. I'm just darn excited. Okay, show tunes. I don't think I'm prepared for this now. Okay, show tunes, okay. Okay, name a couple of Leonard Bernstein shows that were produced on Broadway.
Okay.
Name two of the Bernstein shows.
West Side Story.
West Side Story was one.
Oh,
was the second one, that's right.
Oh, hold on a second, I know that thing.
Okay, just one more, and because he had a couple of other, he had about three or four other shows, and a couple of them very well known.
I know it, and I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, I'll give you about five more seconds if you come up with just one of them. Oh, I'm so sorry.
West Side Story.
Yeah, that's still the first one.
I thought there was enough time in there that you might have forgotten.
You thought I would have forgotten the fact you already mentioned that. No, I'm awfully sorry, Joel.
Can I throw my stumper question at you?
If you want to try, it's just to see.
At any rate. Okay, in a not all that successful musical, Do I Hear a Waltz, who was the male lead?
In the Rodgers and Hammerstein show, Do I Hear a Waltz, who was the male lead?
Yeah.
A man with tinnitus?
What did you say?
A man with tinnitus. Do I Hear a Waltz, or is that just me?
We're trying to be sensible about this. You know what we're saying, Jack? We don't need to clowning around by some third-rate traffic guy.
I see.
Who loves to look down at highways and wrecks and things like that. And no, I don't have any idea. What is that?
Enzo Stuarti.
Oh, yeah, whatever happened to him? Enzo Stuardi.
I think that show happened to him.
No, because that was sort of moderately successful, as I recall. As I remember, he also married Annette Funicello, Enzo Stuardi, as soon as the show ran out, and they established a, as I remember, an Indian arts and facts, artifacts shop just outside of Bar Harbor, Maine. Did they not? And they sell Indian baskets?
I hope so.
Oh, I'm sorry that you missed that. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Joe. Okay, this is Barry in Worcester. If you want to take part in this...
Hi, how you doing this morning, gentlemen?
Okay, we're doing just fine, thank you.
How's that go? Rock and roll for 20?
Of course, it's all equal, because we're an equal music employer or something.
Yeah.
So it's rock and roll, big band jazz, or musical comedy.
Rock and roll.
Okay, here's your first question. Name the girl in Born to Run.
Oh, boy, you really got me on that one.
The girl in being Born to Run.
Bruce Springsteen's song, Born to Run.
Baby. Her name was Baby. Yeah, I was born. We were born.
Baby, we were born to run.
I don't know. Mary?
Mary. Sorry about that.
Okay, hey, can I bounce one off you just to see what had happened?
Sure.
Okay. In his music, Harry Chapin visited the same address twice. What was the address?
16 Parkside Lane.
Very good.
Oh, we're sharp tonight, Barry.
Okay.
You stay tuned because you'll learn a whole lot about music from us.
Okay,
thanks for calling. He didn't seem terribly convinced about that, did he? No, he didn't know. Let's see if we can convince Fred, because he's always enthusiastic and excited about stuff. Right, Fred?
Yeah.
See what I mean? Yeah.
Hello, Norm.
Fred, if you ever want to, incidentally, if you ever have a party that's going too high and people are having too much fun, just invite Fred. And he can bring it down into the toilets and flush it out to sea faster than anybody I know. What category would you like, Mr.
I'd
Flush?
I'd like to say hello, Norman, hello, Jack Hart, and Ed Mullen.
Hello. Just get on with
and
it. What's your category?
I'd like a rock question.
Rock question from Ed Mullen. Okay.
Okay, this is the category is called Loose Connections. I'm going to name three phrases and tell me what ties all three phrases together.
Okay.
Hotel California, Rocky Mountain Way, and... The James Gang. So what's the common thread through all three phrases?
At Hotel California. And what else?
Hotel California, Rocky Mountain Way, and the James Gang.
So what common thing do they have?
I asked you first.
Okay.
Give me about five more seconds, Fred.
I'm going to say they were all done by the Eagles.
It's very close, but that's not correct.
That's what I was trying to say.
He does the sound effects back at his house.
Yeah,
that's kind of interesting. Yeah, he records everything on this program and then plays it back to us in dribs and drabs forever. If that's not spooky, one day you'll hear your own traffic report played back to you, Jack.
I believe that falls into the category of get a life.
I believe so. That's on the next page.
Yeah.
254-1030. It's kind of quiet now. We could use some contestants to this.
Just listen.
Yeah, it is quiet,
it is
isn't
quiet.
It? Yeah. Incidentally, you're probably wondering, why am I here tonight? Why does the program sound
not really
different? No, you know.
Most of the time, I always wonder why you're not here.
Okay. Anyway, this is the Bob Raleigh Show. Bob, right at the moment, is in Reykjavik, Iceland, at a Bob Raleigh convention. No, he's down in Washington, I guess. He'll be back in tomorrow. So, meantime, we're sitting here and we're with a music quiz. And if you want to take part in this, all you have to do is call at 254-1030, area code 617. Again, decide which category you'd like to compete in, rock and roll, big band jazz, or musical comedy. And then always have a question. We'll ask you the first question, then if you get that, be ready to have a question for us right after that. And we'll take some more calls in just a minute. But first, BZ.
How you doing, Uncle Norm?
I'm doing okay there, Marty, so far, anyway. What category would you like?
Oh, let's see. Musical comedy.
Musical comedy?
Yeah.
Okay, here's your question. Who coined the phrase, and what show is this from, that coined the phrase, I like Ike, which turned out to be a slogan of the Eisenhower campaign back in 1952, came from a show... which also came up right about that same time. Obviously, came out just a couple of years ahead of that. I like Ike. Give you another 5 seconds or so, Marty.
It wasn't Bye Bye Birdie, was it?
No, it was not Bye Bye. Bye Bye Birdie was the musical based on sort of a character, an Elvis Presley kind of character, with Dick Van Dyke and a whole bunch of great people. So that was a funny show, but that was not it.
Oh, well.
I'm sorry. Thank you very much for trying. Okay. Bye-bye. Anybody listening, by the way, if any of these questions that have gone unanswered are questions that you know the answer to, just pick us up on it, okay? Okay, Elaine, son of a gun, it's Elaine. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Norm. Before, and you know it's musical, but before we get to that, I just want to briefly say I admired your comments about Al Michaels, and apparently the Globe agreed with me. Now we'll get it off.
Oh, yeah, okay, that was Ed Siegel's column in the Sunday Globe. I accused Al Michaels, the sports guy, of being an apologist for O.J. Simpson. I thought he was dreadful. And we had, because we carried his comments, which was right after the arrest
of... I was listening, and I thought, good for you.
Okay, good. And now, you like musical comedy.
I'd like to answer a couple of the outstanding questions.
Okay, all you have to do is actually answer just one of them.
Well, I'll try both. The first one, I like Ike, was from Call Me Madam, Irving Berlin.
That is correct. That came out in 1950, just a couple of years before... Mm-hmm. Eisenhower was elected president over my hero, Adlai Ewing Stevenson.
My hero, too.
Yeah.
As you probably guessed.
I kind of did.
And the other, Leonard Bernstein, I believe, was On the Town.
On the Town is correct. And he also did Candide.
Mm-hmm.
And he did The Cradle Will Rock. I don't even remember that one, do you?
I believe it was probably based on a straight play. I'm not sure of this. But it might have had something to do with a Clifford Odets play.
Okay.
You might want to check that. I won't swear.
Well,
but I've already been right on two things.
Okay.
I will ask you a question.
Okay. Wonderful Town, incidentally, was also another one. He had a lot of town kind of shows. On the Town, Wonderful Town. Okay. Ask me what.
From what show and the composer and lyricist the following song? I'm the illegitimate daughter of an illegitimate son of an illegitimate nephew of Napoleon.
I know, I've heard that song. It sounds like a Groucho Marx show, but hooray for Captain Spaulding, the African explorer. Please don't call me Snorer. It's kind of that kind
hooray,
of fun.
Hooray,
kind
hooray.
Of a, hooray, hooray, hooray. That's right. It's kind of that funny.
No,
word.
It isn't, but it isn't.
No, I don't know that. I don't know. Who is that?
It was from Of the I Sing, George and Ira Gershwin.
Oh, son of a gun. Of the I Sing, baby.
Right.
Okay.
The sort of heavy, the other woman sang it,
okay.
Not Mary, who was the Of the I Sing, baby. But the other woman.
Okay. Here's the final question for you. If you get the answer to this, you get another one of these.
And I'm papering a room.
I know it. You bought tons of these
what
things,
what are you up
too.
To now, Helene? Would this be your fourth if you win this, or fifth?
Actually, I think it will only be my third.
You know what I think?
I still want to know what Helen Hayes got a Grammy for.
I better give you this because we got to break into the news in just in a second or two. If you win this, I tell you what, we'll send you that. Would you like a Peepers key ring instead?
I have a Peepers key ring.
Oh, you've won everything. I don't know. I'll send you one of the WBC desks then. Okay, John Van Druten's play, I Am a Camera, made into a music called, which was called what?
Cabaret.
Son of a gun, you win. Okay, I'll turn you over to Mike Epstein. So we'll send something out. If it's not one or the other of the other two, I'll send something beyond that. Because we're that kind of people. Anyway, we'll take a break, okay? Is that okay with everybody? It was just the darn folks here. I thought that was really nice. I'd like to have him for my grandfather. I'd like to have anybody for my grandfather, to tell you the truth. I haven't had one of those kind. Well, anyway, that's a whole other thing. What we're doing is the Swirl Music Quiz. And we have Ed Mullen. We have, please hold your applause till I introduce the entire head table. We have Tony Nesbitt. And we have Jack Hart. And we have... we have Mike Epstein, who's our producer, and we have you too. And all you have to do is pick the category, whether it be rock and roll or big band jazz or musical comedy, whatever it might be. And if you get through all the steps, then you win really a cockamamie prize. You'll think it's not almost not worth it, but it's kind of fun. Anyway, my name is Norm Nathan. Let's go to Jim in Lynn. Hi, Jim.
Hi, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning to you. What category would you like?
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll, Ed.
All right, here.
I have a previous question I'd like to answer.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
From Born to Run.
Name the girl in Born to Run.
Wendy.
Wendy is correct. Good work. Now, do you have a question for us in rock and roll?
Yes, I do. From what era and circumstances does the band Jethro Tull get its name?
Oh, I know.
Okay, go right ahead then, Jack.
They used to keep on changing their names every time they'd go out to play because nobody would hire them as a result of what they played the night before, and that the night that they got their big break, they just happened to have been using that name.
Yeah, but my question is, from what era and circumstances does the name Jethro Tull come? He's a real character in history.
He was an English farmer, was he not?
An archer?
Well, from what era, and I have an answer that...
You're talking about what century was he alive?
Where did he gain his fame? Why was he a famous character in history?
What is the historical allusion?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like the way you phrase that, Jack. What is the historical allusion? Very nice. Do anybody know the answer to that?
No.
No, I thought he was a farmer about the 15th century in England.
Not the 18th century. Not the way I understand.
No, I said the 15th, but maybe I'm going back too far.
Well, would you like me to give up?
I guess we do give up.
You might be correct in your my understanding is he's from the 15th century, about 500 years ago.
I did say the 15th century.
He's the first English citizen that was ever convicted and hanged by the neck until dead for smoking marijuana.
Really? No kidding.
Wow.
I believe that.
Well, that sends chills up my spine.
And, the thing of it is they probably used a hemp rope.
Jack.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Now we ask you one final question. If you get the answer to this, you get a cheaply copied gift certificate, certificate of award.
What are you trying to say?
I'd be very appreciative if I can answer it correctly.
Okay. Okay.
Here's the question for you. Name the song about a battle that needlessly happened 2 weeks after the War of 1812 was over.
The Battle of New Orleans, Johnny Horton.
That's right.
Very good. Very, very good. Very
Thank you
good,
very
Jim.
Much.
Okay, hold on, and Mike Epstein will take all the information from you. We'll either send you a certificate of award or one of those peepers key rings. Does that sound good? A peepers key ring? Oh, I guess
is this mic on?
I guess he clipped them off. Anyway, Mike is talking. I'm getting the information. Okay, let's go to Howard in the Hyde Park. Hi, Howard.
Good evening, Norm, or morning, rather. Excuse me.
No, either way is okay. It doesn't
Close
matter.
Enough. It's dark out.
That's right.
At least in half of the world.
Oh, will you stop with your philosophy? What category would you like, Howard?
Classical.
No, see, we don't have a classical category.
Make one.
I suppose we could make one, okay? Make one. Let's see if I can make one. Because we don't really have anybody here who's really very expert in classical music.
So I think
Okay, I'll tell you what. The intermezzo from the Cavalleria Rusticana was written by whom?
Rusticana.
Yeah, it was called the Cavalleria Rusticana. And one of the great works that I always loved was the intermezzo. And who wrote the Cavalleria Rusticana? Which means, as you know, the Rustic Carnival.
Rustic Carnival.
Right. Roma non fu fatti in un giorno scobba bene.
I would have to say
No, it was not. It was, I won't tell you who. Well, I'll tell you who, because I don't think anybody else is going to ask in this category. No, it was Pietro Mascagni.
Mascagni.
Pietro Mascagni.
I'd like to throw one at you guys.
You can anyway. Go ahead. What the heck?
In the late 50s, there was a movie made with Sir Alec Guinness called From the Horse's Mouth. Two-part question. What was the name of the music used, and who was the composer?
No, I don't have any
Time's
idea.
Time's up.
Wait a minute.
Up.
Do you guys know? Anybody know? You know Jack? No.
What was the name of it?
From the Horse's Mouth. I remember the movie. I don't remember the movie itself, but I remember the name. And it was during a very productive period of English movies, especially with Alec Guinness, who did a whole bunch of them then. Great movies.
I believe the music was called
the theme from The Horse's Mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
No, we give up. What was that?
It was Sergei Prokofiev's Lieutenant Kiji Suite.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, very popular piece of music at the time.
I've got a question for him that can combine classical and
rock and roll.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. What there's a song that one of the girl groups did in the early 60s called Lover's Concerto. And what is the actual music? What classical piece of music is the...
It was from Kismet.
No, what? It was a classic piece of classical music. You were asking about classical
Kismet
music?
Kismet was... That was Polovetsian Dances by Borodin with Kismet.
Well, it wasn't... It wasn't that one, though.
So what was it? Oh, do I have to wait?
No, you don't have to wait. Why don't you tell him, Jeff?
Oh, it was Bach's Minuet in G.
I did not know that one.
Okay.
Well, at least I don't get my beepers.
Okay.
Gentlemen, have a good morning. It's been fun.
It's been fun having you, too. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to David in Woburn. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, so far we're doing swell, and I was hoping you'd say that instead
hello
of me
to
having
Ed,
to
Jack,
tell you.
Mike, and Tony.
Hello.
Okay. In alphabetical order.
How about Norm? Norm's sitting here, and he
Norm,
liked it.
Too, yeah.
Okay. What category would you like?
I'd like to answer that question about...
The Prokofiev one?
No. Okay. The one that had... Someone had answered the Eagles.
Right, the... What's the loose connection throughout these three phrases? Hotel California, Rocky Mountain Way, and the James Gang.
That's Joe Walsh.
Joe Walsh, very good. Do you have a question for us?
Yes. Adrian Blue. He has been, his discography is quite large. And I'd like you to name four bands that he has played with.
Hmm. King Crimson?
Right.
David Bowie?
Right.
Let's see. Roxy Music?
Nope.
Will you settle for two out of four?
they're so common, you have to...
I know who the other one is, and I can't think of...
Okay, they are that common, so that's a fair question.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a feeling when I'm coming up with an answer... And so rather than have these guys sit here moan and groan and think, well, God would, we'll say that they don't know. What are the other two?
Well, besides his own solo projects, he's appeared with the Bears, Talking Heads, David Byrne, Jerry Harrison, Tom Tom Club, David Bowie, Frank Zappa, Herbie Hancock, Jean-Michel Jarre, Ryuichi Sakamoto, Peter Wolf, Laurie Anderson, and Alan Rudolph.
Son of everybody but Lawrence Welk. That's an incredible lineup, isn't it? Obviously can't keep a job because...
He's a good studio musician.
Yeah, he must be to get those kind of jobs.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one final question for you, and if you get this one, you win a big, pretty nothing kind of prize.
Who wrote the song called Woodstock?
Joni Mitchell.
Right.
Excellent, excellent.
Very good.
Excellent, very good, David.
Thank you.
Okay, I turn you over to Mike Epstein. He will take your name and address, and the FBI will be at your home within an hour. Okay, here's Mary in Weymouth. Hello, Mary. Hi, Mary, you're on WBZ. Hi, Mary, you're on WBZ on the Dumb Music or the Swell Music Quiz. Hi, Mary, I have to hang up on you now.
Mary. Bye.
Bye, Mary. Bye, Mary. Watch Mary sit there quietly without opening her mouth. Watch Mary get hung up on. Watch me switch to Todd in Walpole. Hi, Todd.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, so far it's going really great.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. What category would you like?
How's rock and roll sound?
Sounds pretty good.
There you go.
Sounds pretty good to me. How are you, Tony?
That sounds pretty good.
All right, let's hit him with another question. Okay. What's the girl's name in the song Rocky Raccoon?
Ooh, Lil?
That's right.
There you go.
Excellent, excellent.
I was hoping he would give me the whole verse. Her name was McGill, but she called herself Lil, but everyone knew her as Nancy.
That's close enough.
It is, thank you. It is close enough. Now you ask a question, if you would.
Okay. The rock group Pearl Jam, how did they get their name?
I've heard two stories.
Yeah, I heard a story like a couple days ago, so I figured you'd use it.
Okay, well, one story I heard, they got the name... from one of the band members' grandmothers,
was named Pearl, and she used to make homemade jam.
That,
I believe, is the real story behind it. Some people have made up some dirty stories about it, too, but I think that's the real story behind the name.
There you go.
Okay, Todd, thank you very much for calling. And if you'd like to put yourself in line, answer some questions, the phone number is 254. How are you doing, Rick?
Hi, Norm.
You're the very person I talked to just this past weekend.
That's correct. And since it's a foregone conclusion, I'll be out of here after one question. Can I repeat the suggestion to Jack Hart and Tony that I made to you last night?
Yes.
That everybody work on David Bird and I to play the dumb birthday game.
I know that you'd mentioned that yesterday. You thought it would be a hilarious thing. What makes you think it'd be kind of a funny bit? Just the thought of having him play the game?
Oh, I guess the juxtaposition of David and Arlene from Philadelphia Way and that young woman who baked Jack Hart a cake on his birthday. Somehow the conversation would seem to miss each other in the middle.
Who baked me a cake on my birthday?
At least she said she did. Maybe she lied.
She ate it for you, Jack, I guess.
Holy smoke.
See, you never got it.
Apparently not.
I'm going to leave a note in David Brudnoy's mailbox, and maybe he'll take us up on it.
Begin it. People are clamoring.
Okay, I'll see. If people are clamoring, they want you on the dumb birthday game. For God's sakes, answer your audience. Okay, meantime, what category would you like, Rick?
How about a rock and roll question, which the answer is Ricky Nelson?
As a matter of fact, here's one right now. All right, let's see. Well, here's a question from the 50s and early 60s. In what city does Wilbert Harrison think he'll find a lot of pretty women?
God, but he asked me what I know. Kansas City.
Hey,
very, very good, Rick. Mm-hmm. Very good. Now you have a question for us, I'll bet you.
Oh, I do. I'm torn between two of them. One is, what sports announcer appeared on a platinum record?
Sorry. Phil Rizzuto.
That's correct.
No kidding.
Yeah. On Meatloaf's Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Oh, yeah. Oh, son of a gun.
May I ask my second question just for the heck of it?
Okay.
What?
I thought it was maybe the Money Store Blues or something.
Go to the Money Store.
That's what it was. I guess he needed the money, so he did it.
Yeah.
What early rock and roll group, which was a crossover from rhythm and blues, had two lead singers that left the group and went on to be stars in their own right, so much that they ended up in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I knew this because Daryl Gould told me this, and the answer is the Platters, and that's the name of the group, and it's Clyde McFadder, and the other one is, where's Daryl? Is he gone home yet?
Oh, Daryl! I think he's gone home, yes.
Oh, I got stumped on the other one. Am I halfway right?
Well, not really, because a third right. The two lead singers were Clyde McFadder and Jackie Wilson. But the group that they were in was the Dominoes. The two lead singers from the Platters also left and went on their own, and they were never heard from since.
They're still on their own now.
Yeah. I think I just saw them walking up Soldiers Field Road. Yeah.
A little destitute, yeah.
Okay, now here's one final question for you. And
no,
if you win this.
I'm sorry, but he's lost.
They knew my
first
question.
That's right. We answered it. I'm sorry. We answered the question.
He's gone.
Story of my life.
I would have phrased it more delicately than that, Rick, but these are boorish people we have working here. They're oafs. Hey, thanks for calling.
You got to be tough in the business.
Oh, you got to be, man. Well, you're wiped away by insignificant talent. Anyway, thanks, Rick, and let's go to Mark in Brighton. Hi, Mark. You're on WBZ.
Hi, Norm. How you doing?
We're doing just great. I was hoping you'd say that.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. You had the answer already for me.
Okay, what category would you
like? Well, the first thing I would like to do is to stop a grave injustice from going on with you awarding somebody a prize that actually gave you an incorrect answer.
Uh-oh. Oh, what did we do?
Jethro Tull.
Yeah.
First of all, he got the year wrong by about two centuries. Second of all, there were no anti-marijuana laws in the 1400s in England.
Jethro
Tull was the progenitor of the agricultural revolution in England, which preceded the industrial revolution, and his major invention was 1701, he invented the seed drill for sowing seeds in accurately spaced rows at a controlled rate. This made possible the control of weeds by horse-drawn hoe, and so reduced the need for farm laborers freeing them to work in factories.
Are you reading?
I am. I'm not claiming that this is coming from the top of my head.
Yeah, that's right. He talks like he reads, but he's actually ad-libbing. No, but I did get the sense, and I did say he was a farmer.
It was 1674 to 1741.
Okay, now, did that fellow win an award?
I believe you were ready to send him something.
Okay. And that's for you, fella.
And I'd like to actually get a question on rock, if I can.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here you go. And there's a question for you. I just ripped up all my questions, though, and that little sound effect. But here's the remaining one. Here's loose connections. Please name the common thread in these three phrases. Buffalo Springfield, Ohio, and Four-Way Street.
David Crosby. Oh, wrong one. I should have said Graham Nash. No, Steven Stills.
Yeah, you're for two. You got two more to name.
It's all right. Steven Stills, I guess it was. I was one of those guys.
Yeah. Did you just name all? You just named three out of the four of Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Yeah.
And named all three wrong. And you're down to one more. You have one more guess.
I'm not going to even embarrass myself.
Okay. No need to do that.
I have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll give you a choice of two questions.
Okay.
The first question would be the group Pink Floyd, where did the name come from? And the second would be Pink Floyd has one song where no member, there is someone singing, but it's not a member of Pink Floyd. What's the name of the song and who's singing it?
Okay, the name of the song is Havana Gila. And it's sung by Menashe Schoolman.
That was back when they were doing Hebrew song.
That's right. They were doing klezmer.
Right.
That was klezmer stuff.
That was on the Wailing Wall record.
That's right. They were doing
it.
Tel Aviv at the Wailing Wall, or is the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem? I always forget. They both look alike, those two cities. I always get them mixed up.
And those two walls.
That's right.
And they, bricks are bricks.
It looks like Methuen. You know. Anyway, no, I'm sorry to be flip about that. I have no idea. And these guys obviously don't either, but they're not as witty as I am.
I can't remember the Pink Floyd.
One of the original members of Pink Floyd was Syd Barrett, and he had two cats. One cat was named Pink, and the other cat was named Floyd.
Oh, is that right? Is that right? Wow.
The second question is on the song Have a Cigar, the vocals are done by Roy Harper.
Hmm.
Originally sung by his cat.
His cat, right. Boots.
Okay.
Who got married to Annette Funicello and now has an Indian artifact in Newark, New Jersey.
That was, I know who got married to her recently because she was divorced from that fella you're thinking of.
Yeah.
She just married Fabio.
Ah.
Yeah, and she does his hair. And they do have an artifact, an Indian artifact.
The common thread is Annette Funicello.
Annette Funicello is the common thread through all of those people.
No, I mean the artifact store.
Oh, the artifact store, yes. Yeah. No.
She has a chain of them across the country. Now, everyone she marries in a different state, they open up a store.
Yeah. And she's
the Walmart of Indian artifact stores. Right.
She is known as the mistress of Indian baskets.
You didn't know that.
Well, I knew about Jethro Tull.
Okay. No, thank you about the Jethro Tull, because that was interesting that they would pick a name like that.
You know, when that guy said that answer, I thought that was the silliest thing that I'd ever, not the silliest thing that I'd ever heard, but one of the silliest things I'd ever heard, because I knew he was an agriculturist.
Yeah.
And I knew there was people. I don't think anybody was smoking marijuana in the 1400s.
Well, if they did, they didn't know they were.
Yeah. At the time.
Okay. No, they were eating poisoned rye bread.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck is this? Let's smoke it and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Mark, thanks a lot. You're a great deal of fun. I appreciate it.
All right. Sorry, take care.
You too. Bye-bye. We're going to take a break for the news.
No, that sounds great. Thank you. Oh, sorry about that. I just placed an order from the Queen of Indian Baskets, Annette Funicello. Keep an eye and ear out for Hour 2. Like, subscribe, and share, and tap that bell to get notified when the next big show is on the interwebs. You can now check us out on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Google Podcasts. Links in the description box below. Closing the vault and riding the radio waves home. For Ed Mullen, Jack Hart, Mike Epstein, and that guy named Norm, I'm Tony Nesbitt.